I believe that I make pretty good biscuits. I use soft, self-rising flour, cold butter, cold water, a little sugar, a little salt. Now, when I follow the recipe that I have, they usually turn out to be very good. However, there are those times that I think that I remember the recipe well enough that I can simply make them from memory. I have to admit, I usually get close enough that they are edible, but certainly not good enough to say, now that's a biscuit. My aunt, God rest her soul, would make biscuits every morning, just as her mother, my grandmother, would. Now, my mother would tell me that she and her three siblings would get a biscuit for breakfast on weekdays, and then a biscuit wrapped in a napkin for their lunch at school. My grandmother cooked and baked using a sturdy wood-burning stove. That same stove sat in my Aunt Luke's kitchen, and she cooked and baked everything for family and guests using that same wood-burning stove. Now, one summer, my parents and one of my older sisters and I traveled to North Carolina to visit my granny, my Aunt Luke and Uncle Keith, and my two cousins, Candy and Pandora. Every morning started with a big breakfast that Luke prepared on the wood-burning stove before Keith went off to work and before Pandora, Candy, and I would walk around the small mountain community. My sister was still in bed, and she never liked breakfast anyway. Her loss. The breakfast consisted of fried eggs, ham steaks with red-eye gravy, grits, and, of course, wonderfully flaky biscuits. The biscuits were large, and they were tall, and yet very light and flaky and beautifully brown. There was a constant parade of hands converging on the large platter piled high with the steaming biscuits. Each hand would return to its owner with a hot biscuit, and with the assistance of other hands, each biscuit was opened, ready to accept the gifts of local butter and honey. One could certainly claim without a doubt, now that's a biscuit. I never saw Luke use a recipe for her biscuits, and yet every day they turned out beautifully. Now you might wonder, who cut all the wood to fire that stove Luke used morning, noon, and night? Well, that would be my Uncle Keith. But Uncle Keith had a plan, and I was voluntold to help him while I was there. Luke was going to the big town of Greensboro, North Carolina, for a two-day art class and would stay overnight with friends. My Aunt Luke was an artist and loved to paint what she saw in the small farming community where she and her family lived. The community, appropriately named Farmer, was full of old farm equipment and old farmers who used the old farm equipment, all brought to life in Luke's paintings. Luke's absence meant that Candy and Pandora would take Luke's place in running the general store on the other side of the highway from their house. Keith had inherited the store from his mother, who had run it for decades. Now, next to the store, but under the same roof, was the small post office for the community and the one-chair barber shop. That's right. The woman who ran the post office was also the barber. Uncle Keith told me that tomorrow morning we would start on his top secret project. Luke left early that morning for the hour and a half drive to Greensboro. Breakfast for us consisted of coffee and biscuits, as no one else had the courage to attempt to make a big Luke-inspired breakfast. But Luke had gotten up before dawn and made the biscuits she made every single day. With my cousins off to open the store, Keith and I piled into his pickup truck and drove to a small nearby town. arriving at the one and only propane company in the area. Within minutes, and with Keith's truck in the lead, we were followed by a big truck carrying a large propane tank, the cradles in which the tank would sit, and a ditch witch. Never seen one of those. They're really cool. They dig trenches, and that's what we would lay the gas line in to the house. Next came a propane truck to fill the tank after it was installed. Now, the modest caravan snaked its way along the narrow mountain roads, finally arriving in Farmer, and made its way down the long gravel driveway to Keith and Luke's house. It was clear that these men installed propane tanks every day, just as Luke made her biscuits every day. There was no net recipe they needed to check. The cradles were set, the tank installed using a small crane on the back of the truck. At the same time, a man operated the ditch witch, and it dug a trench from the tank to the house. In 2 hours, everyone was sitting in the shade resting as the new tank was being filled with propane. After everyone finished the soft drinks and sandwiches that Keith had passed around, he prevailed upon the workers' good nature to help him get a new gas stove hidden in the barn, drag it out, and help him put it in the kitchen. By lunchtime, we finished connecting the line and installing the gas stove. It worked beautifully and was ready for Luke to use after she returned home. The best part about the new stove, Keith claimed, was that he would no longer need to chop wood to satisfy the voracious appetite of that old wood-burning stove. Everything was set for the big surprise, which Keith would show Luke the next morning after she returned from her art class, because he knew she would get home late that night. Now, the sounds and smells of breakfast filled the air. One could hear the ham steaks frying in the big cast iron skillet that Luke used. And of course, there was the aroma of biscuits baking and of strong dark coffee brewing. My mother and I were the first ones up and went to the kitchen to see how Luke enjoyed her new stove. However, Luke was in her familiar spot in front of her wood-burning stove, shifting a skillet full of eggs to better capture the shifting heat of the stove, all the while checking on the biscuits in the oven. I was certainly not going to say anything, as this was Keith's gift to Luke, so I would wait for him to introduce her to her new stove. Breakfast was already on the table when Keith got out of bed. He slept a bit late on Saturdays. As usual, there was a polite yet consistent attack waged on the biscuits, as well as a concerted effort to keep one's eye on one's own plate and one eye on the remaining biscuits. Now, one could run out of eggs or grits or ham, but one must always have another biscuit or two. Keith came to the table and asked Luke how she liked her new present. There was a pause, long enough to allow everyone to get another biscuit and dress it with butter and honey. Luke's answer came in the form of a concise question. Why would I use a gas stove when my old stove works just fine? Keith was dumbfounded. He had gone through all that effort for nothing. Was he now caught in a lifelong relationship with a wood-burning stove? A relationship he had hoped to break off once and for all? Keith chose to ask the first question that had come to his mind. Did I go through all that effort for nothing? But he could not confine himself to the boundaries of just one question, and so chose to ask yet another. Why did I get you that gas stove if you aren't going to use it? I wondered the same thing. Why did you? Asked Luke. The entire conversation continued as it started with an ongoing exchange of questions. And it ended in much the same way. You see, Luke never used the gas stove. I believe she was unwilling to sacrifice her well-practiced routine of cooking and baking, especially since that routine continued to produce wonderful results. In today's gospel, Jesus sets forth a recipe for us in what is called the Great Commission. This transformative passage is expected to do just that. It's expected to transform us from passive believers into active participants in bringing God's mission to life. We're moved from watching the biscuits being made to actually mixing and baking those biscuits to feed all those who come to the table. Now, we might wonder why we would use that same recipe that has always been used, a recipe that was used for those before us and will be used for those to come. You see, the recipe is baptism, a recipe used for centuries to create disciples for Christ, a recipe that consistently survives polite and impolite attacks as well, a recipe that is written in the book of our hearts and marks us as Christ's own forever, a recipe that calls to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ, a recipe that asks us to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbors as ourselves. A recipe that demands we strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. A recipe that lived for centuries and a recipe that will live forevermore. A recipe that we should be able to put together every day without looking, and at the end of the day, be able to say, "Now that's a biscuit." Amen.
Amen.